And Pete drives one to deep left field, and his home run drought is over. Dean Alonso mashes a two-run homer, his 19th of the year, to tie the game. Warming up from the home run derby tomorrow night. Alonso had gone 42 at-bats without a home run, and he ends that with one mighty swing.
All right, we're back. So Pete Alonso's an all-star. It made a lot of people angry because Brandon Nimmo's not an all-star. Francisco Lindor is not an all-star. And I will tell you this, I don't get involved in all this all-star shenanigans. I was a little bit into the home run derby with Pete a couple of years ago. I feel like I personally, covering this sport the way I do, how it's not my primary thing, but I make it a big part of my life and I take it seriously and I do what I have to do here to bring you professional content. I need a break. I need a break for a few days. And I suggest you do some things differently too. If you want to watch the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby, that's fine. Maybe you watch it on demand. You know, watch a Netflix show, a documentary, catch up with the family, go out. If it's, you know, it always seems to rain at the most inopportune times, you know, go enjoy the weather wherever you are. Do something different. But anyway, Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso is going to be in the All-Star Game. Pete Alonso is going to be in the Home Run Derby. And this could be the coup de grace for Pete Alonso in a Mets uniform participating in these things as he's a free agent. We've talked about him a lot. We've had this roller coaster situation. Boris is his agent. And let me make something clear about my feelings on Pete Alonso, because I had tweeted out the other day, I was annoyed about how he read that ball when I was at the ball game against the Nats, the one where he didn't score from second on the double, which I still don't understand. Once you saw the outfielder turn his back, there was really no reason to tag up. But all right, maybe I'm first guessing there. Who knows? I just don't feel Pete Alonso's been right all year. I don't think he's injured. I think that the Pete Alonso that we see this year is probably the version that we were seeing during the pandemic shortened season, but we really didn't pay attention because everything was so wacky and it was an anomaly. And to be fair, everything that was going on in sports and the world, you throw that in the trash. Pete Alonso, the version we've saw this year, is the version that a lot of scouts thought you would get. Not a guy that would hit for average, not a guy that was anything special, an okay first baseman, a guy that'll pop you some home runs, strike out a little bit too much. But really, he dispelled all that very quickly during his rookie year, bringing such an energy to the club. And even with his power and his strikeouts and his run production, he still was able to, for the most part, and again, I take out the pandemic season going into last year, hit about 260, 270, get on base, a high run creation. And a guy that was starting to come into the conversation as a cornerstone player. Now, there's always been debate about his leadership. And I think that Pete has always been an energy guy. His leadership is through energy, through example, through enthusiasm. And I admire the heck out of him, what he does to help animals, what he's doing with rescue dogs and giving money away. I mean, it's great. It makes me happy every time I see that banner come up. When he comes up to the plate, the fact that he's helping these poor animals. I mean, that is just incredible what he and his wife do. So I have nothing against Pete the person. He's a little goofy, but as you can see, when you talk about leadership, and especially with JD Martinez, someone like that coming in and getting the hitter's focus, someone that's bringing a different type of leadership, not just energy and enthusiasm and emotion, there's limitations to that kind of leadership that Pete brings. There is value to it, but it may not be the end-all, be-all leadership. So as he enters his age 30 season next year, and we've debated and talked about that, a right-handed power hitter, someone that came up a little bit later at age of 24, he went to college, signing him to a long-term contract comes with some complexities. And there is, similar to a car that has a little bit of mileage, not a lot of mileage, but is entering the back half of its life, there are small things that are happening that you may want to say, hey, do I want to commit to this car long term? Because in another 3 years, this could be a problem. Now, He's not as bad, Pete Alonso, as he was last year in terms of batting average. And I know that people don't like to talk about batting average, but when you hit 210 or 215, or as he did in 2023, 217, even though your OPS plus or your run creation or your OPS and slugging is there, it's not exactly a good sign. The concern you have this year is he is slugging at a career worst rate at 454 right now. He seemed to be turning the corner a bit in June when the whole Mets offense was clicking, and he's had an awful July. He just broke his home run drought streak, and he seems to be fishing more than ever. He seems to be showing frustration out there more than ever. And you have to wonder, is this part of him trying to show too much to the Mets to prove his contract? Is it the pressure to get a contract? Is there something else going on? We don't know. But the fact that the Mets have been able to, over the last couple of months, and Pete has been part of that. He had an OPS nearly of 900 in June. But they've been able to average 5.5 runs a game, where there's a big chunk of that time that Pete Alonso has been not just not elite Pete Alonso, not even normal, but less than normal Pete Alonso. That's pretty extraordinary. And I think for the Mets to get to where they're going to get and continue to put up that 5-plus runs a game, which is critically important for the way this staff doesn't go deep. And right now, with the way that the bullpen is, they're going to need Pete Alonso to resemble the Pete more of 2021 and 2022 than the version we've seen the last year and a half. Now, when I see a guy perform like he has over the last year and a half, this is starting to become a trend. Now, I wrote about this, and I couldn't find it over at Substack, but I've talked about it. One of the things you have to be careful of with right-handed hitters with power, that as they get older, as their bat slows down, and it happened to the Jeff Bagwells of the world, you saw it with Chris Bryant with his injuries. Well, his injuries are also back-related. But if you start to get small aches and pains that slow your bat down, and the power becomes less frequent, and the strikeouts increase, and the slumps become greater, they become less valuable. Pete Alonso, without slugging, without elite slugging, is not a hitter that you want to commit a 6 or 7 year deal to, because, quite honestly, his defense at first base is good, but it's not great. He doesn't do other things like hit the ball the other way, drive in runs, things that I thought at this point in his career, and we saw a lot of it in 2022, he would have evolved into. And knowing that the home run and the slugging is the whole foundation of his persona, of his energy, of his power, it's a guy that at the plate could wreck a game or bring you back into the game with one swing. As that starts to wane off and decline, and he goes from being a 40-plus home run guy to, right now, he's probably a 30 to 32 home run guy, you start to see small reasons to say, hey, is this a union that makes sense going forward? Now, there's a lot of emotion into Pete Alonso. The fans still love him. He's homegrown. If he goes and he signs with Chicago, or God forbid goes over to the Yankees if they lose Soto, that's not going to sit well with a lot of Mets fans. Although with the way Ben Rice is playing, I don't know if that's even feasible. And I think as he hits the market, assuming that he doesn't have a crazy second half, which it's always, when you go to buy something when it comes to free agency, there's sometimes the panda who used to play for San Francisco, Pablo Sandoval, had a great postseason with the Giants and got a big contract with the Red Sox. And he was never the player that deserved that contract. But the recency bias by the Red Sox indicated that, well, this is a guy that's clutch or whatever it was they were trying to do. And he got a big contract. So if Pete even has a bad rest of July, but goes into August, September, has big numbers for the Mets make the postseason, and he has a good postseason, even if they don't win the championship like the Giants did, well, guess what? He's going to get a big contract from somebody if it's not the Mets. Because that's just the way this league works. And there's always an owner that's going to say, that guy could make a difference in my lineup. But I think the Mets not only need Pete to be back to normal. And maybe, look, 2022, which was his best year, I mean, you could argue it was definitely better than his rookie year, which was great with the 53 home runs, but there was probably some juice ball there that helped jack up, you know, about 10 home runs, I would say. The 40 that he hit, or 46 that he hit, the 40 that he hit in 2022 was probably more than enough. You know, he's a 40 to 42, 43, maybe 45 home run guy, and he could still do that if he gets hot. He's going to have to get really hot. That's the Pete that the Mets need to see in the second half. And I don't know if that's the Pete Alonso that you could expect. Let's have some honest conversation. The Mets are not going to get away with giving Pete Alonso anything less than a 5 or 6 year deal. And if you start to look at the salaries of first baseman, the bar right now is Freddie Freeman at $27 million a year. 6 years, $162 million, $27 million a year. Pete, and I've said this for a long time, and with Boris, if he was having a 2022 type season, you'd be looking at $30 million a year, 7 years, $210 million, maybe more. Maybe he's looking to be north of 30. I think the recent slump has put him more in the conversation where you really can't justify giving him more than Freddie Freeman. You could justify saying, hey, and he's making $20 million this year. You kind of are more like Matt Olson, but Matt Olson also got 8 years. And I'm going to say Pete and Boris are not going to settle for less than what a Paul Goldschmidt, or, and I know he's not, he's played first base and he's there now, what Chris Bryant got. I think very similarly to what Chris Bryant got from Colorado, 7 years, $182 million, maybe a skush below around 200 is where Pete wants to be. And I think Chris Bryant, although he wasn't a first baseman, is a cautionary tale that, hey, these guys could go really bad really quick. And I'll tell you what, if I'm the Mets, yeah, this is probably going to come down to, and I hate talking about this when the Mets are in the midst of a playoff run, because that's what fans and media do in July when their team is out or about to be out. But it's going to probably come down to Pete and Juan Soto. You know the Mets are going to want to try to make a run for Juan Soto. And they're going to have to ascertain how serious Soto is. And the fact that Cohen has a relationship with Boris and he has a couple of clients there, I think you could have some honest conversations around that. Would Boris love a package of Alonso and Soto? Sure. Is it realistic? That's a whole nother thing. And I really think that it could come down to that. But there's another name in the mix that's a free agent, and that's Christian Walker, who, by the way, is having a really good year on both sides of the ball, is among the top first basemen in the league. I mean, Pete is actually in the Jake Cronenworth level, bottom in the top 10. He's out of the top 10 this year offensively, more towards the bottom there of the top 15. And, yeah, Walker's a lot older. He's 5 years older. He may only require a shorter-term deal. He might require a four-year deal for $100 million. And you get a better glove, and, you know, who knows? But he's older. He's older, and there's risks there, too. So the Mets are in a position where they really have to see, and Pete has to show, is he going to be part of the mix here? Now, if this whole contract thing is swallowing him up, and he's going to be bad, I mean, he has been bad in July. The Mets are going to have some problems because you could go out, you could solve the bullpen and make a trade. Whether it's a painful trade or not, you can make a trade. You can continue to get solid production out of your starting rotation. But if this offense takes a step back to where it was prior to Memorial Day, prior to the JD Martinez meeting, and let's face it, they are averaging, I think, like 1 point over six runs a game. That's softball type numbers. Those are pinball numbers by baseball. I mean, what is this, Colorado everywhere? The Mets are not playing in Colorado. I know it's been humid and the ball's flying. I mean, the ball's flying out of Citi Field. Think about that. But, I mean, that's not realistic. But you're going to see, I mean, look, you've already seen JD Martinez step back a little bit. Eventually, as it gets hotter this summer, as they get longer into the year, you're going to have slumps by Vientos and Alvarez. I mean, Alvarez has cooled down a little bit. Nimmo's going to cool down. Lindor had because he had such a horrible first month and a half, maybe he's not due for a slump. But the lineup is going to slump. And Iglesias has to come back down to earth, right? Maybe McNeil steps up. I mean, he started to look a little bit better this weekend. But, you know, what I really think here is that the Mets need Pete Alonso badly to be the Pete Alonso from 21 and 22. And they need it because they need it for them to make the playoffs, to continue on this great role. And Pete needs it because as I continue to see the version of Pete that's in front of me, I don't know if this is a guy that I want to invest in a long-term contract. Look, if he came back and accepted the qualifying offer, that's a dream come true. Give him another year. That's probably not going to happen. And I'm not in the camp, and I know there was some rumors from Jim Bowden how the Mets were talking to Houston. I think a lot of the rumors that are out there were probably right there around Memorial Day when this team could have went one way or the other and Stern started the conversation about interest. I cannot see. I mean, if Stearns did not learn from his Milwaukee days how he ripped, even though it made sense on paper, he ripped a key cog out of that clubhouse in Josh Hader and demoralized the club. One of the things, I think Rich Hill was talking about it, former Mets pitcher, former big league pitcher, teams need to see investment in their club from a psychological standpoint to feel like the front office is on their side. And this group is no different. Even if I'm a fantasy baseball perspective, you see trading Pete Alonso and whatever they got makes sense for now and in the future, it would be a terrible sign to the club. It's almost like, hey, we don't think you're good enough. Now, they lose 14 out of 17 going into the trade deadline. That's a different situation. They then didn't earn the right for the front office to invest. As of today, they've earned the right for the front office to invest. That could change. I don't think they're going to go that trajectory, but things change a lot. When you're in this kind of like bandwidth where right now the Mets have to push forward, they can't fall back to 500 or below. A bad week, a real bad week, puts you in a totally different spot. They don't have that cushion to have that bad week. They can't go back to the slump they had in May. The Phillies can, and the Braves were like, what, 34 and 37 or 35 and 37 since, you know, the last like 70-something games after a good start. The Braves have that cushion and that equity about who they are. The Mets don't. So we're not out of the woods yet with Pete being traded anyway. But I will tell you, as far as signing long term, the more I see him, and this is now not just this year. You go back to last year. Yeah, I know he had 46 home runs last year. But offense is more than just home runs. And you look at how Bryant's contract has gone so poorly. And you look at big-time hitters like Jeff Bagwell as they got north of 30, 32. I mean, you may only have another 3 years of Pete being elite before you start seeing the decline. Look at, like, numbers from Richie Sexson, other right-handed hitters. Forget the position. Forget that. Declines happen. And right-handed hitters, power hitters. That's bat slows down. And eventually Pete's bat will slow down. This could get ugly. A seven-year deal for Pete Alonso. There is no doubt in my mind. He'll hit a ton of home runs. He'll probably hit about 200 home runs plus in that 7 years. He's going to finish with hugging 500 home runs in his career if he stays healthy. And he'll no doubt, it'll be a long time before somebody in a Mets uniform breaks that. You know, maybe it's Alvarez, maybe it's Vientos. It's going to be hard. When you start hitting 450, 400 plus home runs, 450, even in modern times where the home run is kind of like the three-point shot, everybody hits them in some way, shape, or form, it's still a lot of home runs. It really is. But even with the home runs, it could get ugly later on. Look at Albert Pujols. Perfect example. I mean, boy, did the Cardinals dodge that bullet. And I know at the end of his career, he came back, he was a good pinch hitter, but for the kind of money he was making, that's an expensive guy to come off the bench. I mean, I could see Pete being like Pujols late in his career. I could see that. Now, Pujols had a longer contract. I really think, but I mean, really at this point, there's two things at play here. They're not attached, like the Mets are attached to the hip with Diaz in a different way. He's so much part of their fabric of getting to where they want to get. You could replace a closer. But Diaz, what he's getting paid and whatnot. With Pete, they're attached to the hip right now because they both need each other to get what they want. Pete needs a big second half to get the contract he wants. The Mets need a big second half to make sure this offense keeps rolling. Because Pete needs to do his part. He's been carried by Vientos. He's been carried by Iglesias. He's been carried by J.D. Martinez and Lindor and Nimmo. Actually, the ironic part is Thunder and Lightning, I've called them. McNeil and Alonso that carried the Mets offense back in 2019, along with when J.D. Martinez had that run of elite performance. J.D. Davis, not J.D. Martinez. Too many J.D.s. J.D. Davis. That elite performance. They have not, I mean, McNeil in a bigger way than Alonso. They have not been part of the party in the at the same level, which is ironic because I never would have thought we'd be talking about this, especially after the batting champ in 2022 and the MVP-type season of Alonso in 2022. They were so much a big part. And Alonso was pretty good against the Padres. Not great, but pretty good. He and Lindor were okay. I mean, in the one game anyway. So it's really going to be interesting. Pete the All-Star, Pete the Home Run Champ. Does this event energize him? Does this event springboard him to a better second half? Let's hope. Because the Pete Alonso we see now is okay. But he's not a guy that I'd invest $30 million a year. And I don't know if I'd give him a contract at all other than maybe a short-term 3 or 4 year deal, which is not going to fly. And I think as we get deeper into this season, and if Pete doesn't start performing back to where he was, I think the fans will see that. I think their emotional attachment will fade. Ultimately, this fan base wants sustained success. They want to go to the ballpark. They want to see winning baseball. They're getting a taste of the fun that Cohen ownership could be. They're getting a taste in Stern's first year of the fun this could be. They want to have a run of fun. They don't want to have a good year and then have 3 years where they're being tortured. They want to run. And that's more important than Pete Alonso and his homegrown nature of being a Met and seeing the majestic home runs and the home run derbies for the next 5 to 7 years. They want more than that. And I don't blame them. And right now, Pete's not even Christian Walker, man. And I know that's crazy to say. Christian Walker's having an underrated year. But when you're hanging out, and nothing against Jake Cronenworth, he's a solid player, but Pete Alonso shouldn't be down there on the Fangraphs leaderboard with Jake Cronenworth. I mean, I'm looking at it now. Jake Cronenworth, Ryan Mountcastle, Nathan Lau of Texas, Lamont Wade Jr. No, not bad players. It's Pete Alonso. You want to get paid $30 million a year? That's where you are? Run creation? His run creation is so far down. It's not even on the first page. It's not even the first page. That's a problem. He's not having a good year. Not having a good year at all. So, we'll see. It'll be a very interesting second half. A lot of storylines developing. The biggest one, about the investment, we know what this team needs. This is the phase of getting what they need, knowing what they need. We got the getting to know you phase with the Mets. It was a little bit, took a little longer. It was a little bit tumultuous. We know what this team's all about. Going out there and getting what they need and then getting it done. And how high of a level can they play with this group? They can probably play in the low 80s. Can they push the envelope and get to the high 80s or maybe 90? Maybe. But they're going to need a few things to happen. They're going to need some reinforcements for the bullpen, and they're definitely going to need Pete Alonso to be the Pete Alonso of old, not the version we've seen for the last year and a half. Want to thank everybody for tuning in to this latest edition of the Talking Mets podcast. Try to get some rest. It is the All-Star break. Do a little break for yourself. Check in with the All-Star break and the Home Run Derby. I know you love baseball. I know the MLB draft was last night. We'll eventually try to figure out a way to talk about that. That's just so hard to talk about because who the hell knows what these kids are going to be. And we'll be back again, you know, continue. And if you guys have noticed, I'm trying to amp it up over at the newsletter. If you're not a subscriber, please just, if you want to try it out for free and see what content comes. I do favor the paid subscribers. They deserve it. We throw a few free things here and there. But if you're free, you at least get to see what it is, and then maybe you want to convert to paid, and there's always deals and things like that, and you could do month to month, and I think it's worth it, but we're really going to be amping it up over there. That's a developing thing. It's an evolving thing. I'm trying to figure it out, and I think as time goes on, I'm figuring it out more and more, what works, what doesn't, frequency and things like that. So substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. Please check it out. Would really appreciate you being part of this cool thing that we've built here over the last, since 2016, it's almost, 8 years now, the Talking Mets podcast. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X @TalkingMetsNoG and your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva @TalkingMetsPodcast.com, NoG, Mike Silva @ TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG. And don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And of course, I want to thank the good folks of the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy your Monday. Enjoy your time off during the All-Star break. Get ready. Big second half ahead. Till then, take care, everybody.